Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
A presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted.
If we lower the standard and dumb it down, everybody's going to impeach everybody, and it's going to be a disaster for our country.
People describe me as being a rich person, but that isn't how I think of myself.
We're sorry you've had so many crazy liberal Democrats running around here the last year.
I took on Trump all over the country, and we beat him. In fact, we beat him like a drum.
He's so lost that, honestly, that poor guy is so lost.
No, never forget, man. Y'all know the moment when Donald Trump met Kanye.
Dope! Oh, that's the Chiefs defensive end, Frank Clark. Wore a Donald Trump jersey to the Super Bowl press conference yesterday.
Trump and Kanye. It had the actual photograph on it. He was so cute. He was just grinning. He's like, I don't care. Go ahead and ask about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Go for it.
It made me want the Chiefs to win even more because he was so smiley and cute about it.
And somewhere in America, Colin Kaepernick took a knee. Yeah. He was
probably so
upset over the whole thing.
Nobody's
couldn't believe
paying
it.
Attention anymore.
Nope.
That guy.
Sorry.
No kidding.
Your ship sailed.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, it's Friday. It's Super Bowl weekend. That's exciting. I wore my jersey. Do you see that? I don't have a Chiefs jersey. I'm sorry.
You need to work on that.
So I do. I probably do, right?
Especially but after they win on Sunday.
Denise has her Chiefs gear on.
I know
Heck
she does.
Yeah. This is for today and tomorrow, and then I have a special sweatshirt for the big day.
Oh,
so
you're fancy.
I've been caught in a transition period here.
Uh-oh.
Like many Rams fans, mm-hmm. I'm supporting the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm not going to act like I'm some bandwagon guy who's suddenly the biggest Chiefs fan in America. Because
I like them. Foam finger.
I didn't go buy that. I haven't bought a jersey yet, but I do like them, and I want them to win Sunday.
That's good enough for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I've got an old Rams jersey, which I can't bring myself to wear these days.
Oh, no.
So I went
Don't
in the
that.
Closet and I dug out this Cleveland Browns jersey that I've had since 2000 when Tim Couch was the number one pick in the NFL draft. And that's what I wore this morning.
That works.
I have it. See?
It's football.
I'm number two.
Did you see, I think we talked about this off air, Rob Lowe wearing that NFL hat?
Yeah,
the game.
Just said NFL.
NFL. That's how I feel about your jersey. Just
kind of middle
just
of the road.
Football.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right.
I know there's a game. I know football's being played this weekend, and that's good enough.
Aware of the sport.
Let's get to the serious news this morning. There's a new poll out by Remington Research that, according to Remington Research, the majority of Americans, 52%, think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
All right.
So they're out polling on this now. And they show a map of America, as you can see here.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the electoral map from the last election. The vast majority of it is red. That is Kansas City Chiefs red, mm-hmm. not
they're
San
the home,
Francisco
they're, they
red.
Were, they're the home team, right? So they got to pick which jersey they wanted to wear, and they chose red.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
They'll be the ones in red this weekend.
That feels right.
Yeah.
That does feel right. Let's see, what's it say here? 52% think the Chiefs are going to win. 35% think the 49ers are going to win. 13% just want to watch the commercials. And I'm just kidding. They don't. They're not sure who's going to win.
I'm going to be.
They don't know
the
who's
food.
Playing.
And of those of the individuals who think the Chiefs will win, 56% believe they beat the spread and win by more than 7 points.
I like it.
So Mahomes has got a lot of fans out there. He's convinced a lot of people that he can pull this off.
He's pretty good,
yeah, he's
from
pretty,
what I hear.
Pretty darn good.
Yes.
I hear he's kind of a big deal.
He is. He's pretty darn good. Today is not Megxit, but it's Brexit, mm-hmm. in case you're keeping up. Megxit has already happened. That was yesterday. After 3.5 years, yesterday's news, I mean, after 3.5 years, Brexit's finally going to happen. Of course, it took a change in an election and all that stuff, and they drug this out, and now I'm sure somewhere in downtown London, Katie Hopkins is dancing wildly. We've tried to reach out to her to see if we could get her on the show today. This is like going to be like Independence Day for Katie Hopkins and Nigel Farage and a few of the other folks over there in England. That's good. Anyway, tonight at midnight, Boris Johnson's going to give a speech at around midnight when the clock ticks. The United Kingdom is no longer part of the European Union, which they joined back in the 70s, technically, before mm-hmm. it was really a thing, before it was a entity, really. They joined the European Union that long ago. So that's a big deal, and I'm sure it's something we're going to talk about with Trish Regan a little later when we get her on here from the Fox Business Network, because she's been following that closely, too. A lot of people see parallels there. It was a fairly close vote, like 52 to 48 or something, to vote for Brexit. But then more and more Brits got on board with it as the momentum carried forward. Sort of like it's about immigration. It's about sovereignty. It's about the issues that we're talking about in the election coming up in 2020. By the way, Senator Roy Blunt, who was there in the Senate chambers yesterday when the Chief Justice of the United States declined to read a question from Senator Rand Paul in reference to the individual who's been identified as the whistleblower. We're going to talk more about that this mm-hmm. morning. It's very interesting because he did read a question from Pocahontas that dissed him in the question. He read a question from Elizabeth Warren that criticized him personally as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And then apparently after he read it, he just looked at her.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, I should have read that ahead of time. There was a little bit of drama yesterday, but the good news is today they're going to vote. And with Lamar Alexander, flip-flopper extraordinaire, deciding that he now doesn't want witnesses, it looks like they have the 51 votes they need to end this thing today. Today wow. could be the day. And Hans von Spakovsky gets enshrined as a soothsayer, if that's the case, because we had him on Monday and he goes, yeah. This thing's done by the end of the week. He called it.
He did.
Called it. So anyway. Past and present, it
don't matter, not the future, sort it out. So let me say this. I know that people describe me as being a rich person, but that isn't how I think of myself.
Easy to say when you're rich.
Right? It's all about how you identify yourself, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
If you don't identify yourself as a rich person, there's no reason for Elizabeth Warren to hate your stinking guts.
I tweeted this last night. Tom Steyer not identifying as a billionaire is everything wrong with our cultural climate.
I know people think that I'm a rich person.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't feel like a rich person.
Well, I do, and I can't pay my bills.
Good.
I keep spending.
Tom, you have no worries in the world except, what designer suit you put on each
Could
day when you go back.
He sounded more elite.
Oh, my God.
By saying something like that. Like, I'm just like you guys.
So here's the thing about it.
Middle class.
I hate the envy game that the left plays in this country because it criticizes the very principle of capitalism where you're born into the greatest country in the world, and that is a golden ticket. If you're born in this country or you get lucky enough to get citizenship here, you got the golden ticket. There's just about no other place in the world where you have the ability to defy your birth your birth status, whether your family was rich or poor when you were born, and rise above that. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, if they're already rich, you get richer. But the point is, if you're born into a middle-class family, you can become a wealthy stockbroker or a wealthy real estate agent or television news anchor and make $1 million a year. You can do those things in America. You shouldn't be jealous because somebody else has achieved that success. That's the part I hate about it. I hate that to Elizabeth Warren, those people are the enemy. And mm-hmm. they've got something that they don't deserve. And the people should be able to take some of that away from them and redistribute it to others who didn't work as hard. That's the bottom line. I welcome Tom Steyer to have $1 billion.
Absolutely.
Way to go, dude.
But just acknowledge it.
Way to go.
Why are you hiding from it? You don't have to be a jerk about it either. But that's just really bizarre. I don't identify as a billionaire. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like John Kerry.
Why don't you just be thankful? Be grateful. Say that you worked hard. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Right.
So
I just wish it worked the other way and we could identify as billionaires and it would be.
I thought you could identify as anything you wanted to these days.
You can
see how it works for you.
I'm feeling.
Just waiting for that money tree to roll, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go to the bank today and tell them I've decided when I woke up this morning that I felt really rich. So a few minutes ago, I wrote a check for $50,000 for a new truck. And I want you to honor it when it comes in the door.
Because I feel like I have this money.
That's how I feel. And if you don't honor it, I'm going to sue you for not recognizing my identity for today.
Somebody would take that lawsuit today.
Uh-huh.
Today, in 2020, somebody would take that ridiculous
I agree.
Lawsuit.
So if you carry through the logic there, that's basically what Elizabeth Warren has identified as somebody who should be able to take your money and give it to somebody else. Mm. That's how she identifies herself.
And as a Native American.
Right. Pocahontas. Trump was rough on him. He was a little rough on him last night out in Des Moines. Do you see that? This is the funny part about this. We have a soundbite. I want to play this first. We have a soundbite from Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden held, this is what I want you to understand. Joe Biden held a counter rally to the president's rally in Des Moines last night. And here are Joe Biden's comments to his crowd in Des Moines last night.
Welcome to Donald Trump's world. Up is down, lies are the truth, allies are enemies, everything is through the looking glass. Look, Trump and I have already gone one round with each other on health care. In 2018, I went into 24 states for 65 candidates. I took on Trump all over the country, and we beat him. In fact, we beat him like a drum.
Did you hear the echo there? An echo is what happens when you are in a room and there's not enough bodies to absorb the sound of your voice. Just to put this in context, Donald Trump spoke in Des Moines last night. He spoke to a huge crowd in Des Moines last night. And by the way, here's what he said about Joe Biden last night.
We are saving your health care while socialist Democrats are trying to take away your health care. And Sleepy Joe has no idea what he's even talking. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's so lost that, honestly, that poor guy is so lost. They talk health care. She said it's over for him. It was over for him, actually, if you knew him a long time ago. Now it's really over.
So he's in Des Moines. I watched the KCCI coverage of this last night in Des Moines. They had 10,000 people waiting to get into this arena. It only seated 7,500. He got in, he spoke. There were another 1,000 or so still outside watching the Jumbotron, according to the reporters who were there. Joe Biden held a counter rally. And the reason you heard an echo in his voice, the reporter who counted them said there were about 275 people at the Joe Biden rally. Same town, same night. You tell me what's going to happen in November of this year. We'll be right back.
America, this is Al Gore. Three things are certain. Hanging chads suck. I'm getting rich off this climate scam. And you are listening to The Mark Cox Show.
All right, welcome back. It's not too late. You know, you threw in that puppy bowl reference. What were you saying about it?
There's a kitten bowl,
too. There's a kitten bowl and a puppy bowl. You know you're getting near the Super Bowl when that's all you're talking about.
Oh, it's the Hallmark Channel bringing back the kitten bowl.
Ah.
And the Animal Planet
has the puppy bowl.
Is it the Purina puppy bowl still?
Maybe.
Okay.
Didn't they have a Victoria's Secret bowl a few years ago?
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Couldn't do that anymore, could they?
It's not something I would watch,
Couldn't get away.
Mark.
Let's get to Ackerman, please.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
What's the over-under on the puppy bowl? I know you got all this stuff stuck in your head there, Tom.
Treats, 50 treats. Yeah. 50 treats will be handed out. 50 and a half, actually.
Okay.
I just saw the line just move. 50 and a half treats will be handed out of the puppy bowl. Over under, you can, the gambling is amazing right now. You can bet on, you know, like, what will Ricky Fowler's, which will be higher, the receiving total of, you know, Tyreek Hill or Ricky Fowler's final round on Sunday, you know, at Scottsdale, or, you know, it's, number of points scored by the Chiefs or by James Harden of the Houston Rockets. You know, it's like they do that kind of stuff all the time.
Wow. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. You can bet on just about any. The prop bets in the Super Bowl are just far and wide. So, yeah, that's no doubt.
There's bets like on the commercials, too. Like, what's going to be first? Or...
Oh, yeah. You bet on the coin toss.
Yeah.
You can bet on the length of the national anthem. Over under, you know, a minute 45 or whatever. I mean, it's amazing.
Does Tom Ackerman bet on anything?
I don't actually. You know, when I go to Vegas, I do. But the only time I've been to Vegas in the last 5 years was for the Kentucky Derby. No, I just don't. I don't know. I feel like I would do really well. But I also know that my connections with teams, like, I just don't feel like it's appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm, and in some cases, you know, it would be frowned upon, very much so. So I don't. But, you know, back in some younger years, yeah, I mean, you know, when we were in college, we used to mess around with, you know, weekends, betting on college football and things like that, just to have fun with it, to make the games even more exciting. Gambling is really taking off in our country, though. And so we, you know, in Camo X, we say, well, I've been saying all morning what the point spread is in the game. It's one, and it's moved to like 1.5, but the Chiefs are the favorite. I believe the over-under on the game is 52. That's the number of, you know, total number of points to be scored in the game. I think that's a pretty good number right there. I'll take a look at it. We've also been talking all morning long. It's 54.5 is the over under. But I have an app where I can see, you know, if the lines have moved and all that kind of stuff. Does fascinate me. I always like to see what the spread is.
I love the line you have to bet with your head. My problem is I went to Vegas a few years back and I went in and I put like $50 down on Kentucky to win the national title that year.
Yeah.
And of course they didn't, so I lost my $50. But the problem is I wouldn't have bet on anybody else to win the national title. I only care about Kentucky basketball. So you can't do that. If you're a serious bettor and you don't want to lose your tail, you've got to understand because it's strange to me how close these bookies are when it comes to guessing the outcome of a game.
Yeah, you can't.
It's frightening. When they say 2 points, it's very often 2 points.
You can't bet, you know, with emotion. But let me give you an example, though, of one. This is called an emotional hedge bet, which some people like to use. So let's say you love the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you really, really love them, and you want them to win the Super Bowl so bad. How much would you pay to see them win the Super Bowl? Would you pay $1,000 for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl?
I'd say a lot of people are paying that or more for seats to see them.
So if you said, I would give $1,000 cash right now for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So bet $1,000 on the 49ers.
Oh.
It's a 1-point spread, basically. So the 49ers win the Super Bowl. You just won $1,000. If the Chiefs win, you lost $1,000.
But you don't care anyway, right?
Yeah.
But you don't care. They won.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's called an emotional hedge bet. There you go.
He seems to know an awful lot about this for a guy that doesn't bet, doesn't he? I'm just kidding.
I've been following this stuff for years. I can't believe, by the way, that it's been, and I covered this team, man, from start to finish. It's been 20 years to the day that the St. Louis Rams won the Super Bowl, and we've been talking about it all morning long on our station. And it was one of the greatest moments I've ever experienced in my life. And that team was so special that I'm getting a reaction on Twitter from people that say they still get chills watching the final tackle by Mike Jones, the catch by Isaac Bruce, so the 73-yard pass and catch from Warner to Bruce. What an amazing time that was. It was so unexpected. The Rams were really not good at all in 95, 96, 97, 98. When they came over from Los Angeles. And then in 99, they just caught fire. The league could not catch up to them. They had a real challenge against the Buccaneers, got through it in the NFC Championship, and then the Titans tied the game. It was 16-0. Titans came back, tied the game, and it took that pass with about 2 minutes to go, Warner to Bruce to break the tie, and then Mike Jones with the tackle at the one-yard line to win the game for the St. Louis Rams. Like, you can never take that away from St. Louis.
No, ever. Never. You know,
the hard part is those guys really don't have anywhere to celebrate. Like, LA doesn't really, they don't give them their due. They don't really care all that much. And, you know, I would hope, and I would love to see them be celebrated here every year. You know, it'd be really special. Maybe the XFL team can have something to do with that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Have you ever contemplated, I'm sure you've talked about it over the years, if Trent doesn't get hurt, would they still have been the team they were? I think Warner was the wild card there. He was the key that made that engine run.
I agree with you. That's a very interesting question, actually. I think that, yes, they would have been very difficult to stop. Trent Green and that offense in the preseason was, and this is just practice, but it was like, it was a machine, and you could see it coming with Mike Martz and his offense. It was an awesome thing to watch. So I think Trent Green actually would have done really well. I believe the player that changed everything for them was Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk was a very special talent. He could run, pass. He was a great blocker. But everybody played a role, and Warner's ability to make quick decisions and that whole season was fascinating. Bruce, excellent route runner. Torrey Holt, tough. Young player. Orlando Pace, one of the best tackles to ever play the game, keeping people off Warner's back.
Right.
I mean, everything just worked perfectly. The defense was scrappy and got it done. In the end, they won the game, Mike Jones making the tackle. It was just a special place in time. Dick Vermeil crying about everything. You know, it was just awesome. And it was one of the greatest sports teams I will ever cover. In fact, I thought that I would never see anything like that again in sports, unexpected. And then, lo and behold, the 2011 Cardinals were a very special club.
True.
I mean, that
very
team
true.
That came back from 10.5 mm-hmm. down to win the World Series, and David Fries with his great triple and home run. But that's we're very lucky around here. I mean, the Blues, and then the Blues win the Stanley Cup. It was like, here's another one, another great story. We're very fortunate in this town. Think of the last 20 years, but even in the last 10, the state of Missouri has had the Blues win the Cup, the Cardinals win the World Series. This is just in the last decade. The Royals win the World Series, and now the Chiefs, I think they're going to win. And that would give the state of Missouri four titles in the last decade. That's
not shabby.
That's pretty
not
special.
Not too shabby, particularly if you're from Chicago or somewhere like that. That's not too shabby.
And leaving out their MLS team over there, that's the four teams. There are no other pro sports teams.
So
those are the teams. NHL, Major League Baseball here, NFL, Major League Baseball over there, all champions if the Chiefs get it done.
So we're not going to see you again until Monday morning. So what is your best guess at the score of the Super Bowl? Do you think Chiefs are going to win?
I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think the 49ers are going to have to score about 30 points to get them. I think that the Chiefs win by a score of somewhere in the neighborhood of 31-20.
Okay.
I think that they'll pull away and win the game by 11 points. I'm going to say 31-20 Chiefs. The problem that the 49ers have, and they're really good, but I don't know if they can catch up if the Chiefs take off and get an early lead. That's not their style. Their style is they have a very good defense, great running game, the 49ers do. But the passing game of the Chiefs is frightening, and they can score in a heartbeat, and I think that they'll be able to do that and hold off the 40. I could see the Chiefs getting off to a great start and the place just jumping, and then the 49ers being steady and strong, young. You know, they're really good, and they'll hang in there, but I don't think they'll have enough. I think this is the Chiefs' year.
Go Chiefs.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, no
That's
kidding.
What I
We'll be looking forward to it. Tom, thank you, buddy.
You got it.
I've learned more about gambling today than I ever knew about. That's outstanding.
It's a growing industry, I'm telling you.
I could never put $1,000 on Duke for any reason. Even if they were playing Kentucky, I could never do it.
No, what would you call it? An emotional hedge fund bet?
An emotional hedge bet. Do
All
it.
All right.
Still hate Christian Leitner. I'll be back.
America demanded change.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And change is what we got. Under President Trump, America is stronger, safer, and more prosperous than ever before.
Best wage growth I think we've seen in almost a decade. Unemployment rate sinking to a 49-year low.
Unemployment for African Americans fell to a new low.
Unemployment for Hispanics hit an all-time record low.
And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
That's the president's one of the two 30-second Super Bowl ads he's going to run. In case you miss it, he didn't buy a minute ad. He bought two 30-second ads, and they've already pre-released one of them. Just so you know, Fox will have them scheduled wherever they want to schedule. Apparently, Bloomberg paid extra, and his is going to run at halftime.
Nice
for whatever. Yeah. So
that's how that works.
Fortunately, he with the most money wins Super Bowl ad selection. Yeah.
Bloomberg identifies as a rich guy, though.
Oh, yes, he does.
I'm told.
At least he's self-aware.
Absolutely. He is self-aware of that whole thing. It's good. It's all about Des Moines. It's all about Iowa right now. You know, if this thing wraps up today, that's good news for those four Democratic senators who want to get back out to Iowa and campaign some more. Of course, they'll be able to go out and say, cover up, cover up, cover up. That's what they're complaining about. The problem is nobody's listening. Democrats are freaking out that Bernie Sanders is leading in Iowa. Apparently Biden's dumping a bunch of cash, whatever he's got left, into Iowa to try to boost his turnout there. I just think people are disinterested, personally. Hey, Paul, thanks for holding on. You're on the radio.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm great.
I was just wondering if you happened to see the Mayor Pete town hall meeting conducted by Chris Wallace the other day, and the next time you have him on, I'd like you to ask him a couple of questions.
Okay.
Because one, that audience was so biased, and this was supposed to be a town hall, not a rally. This was a town hall. You're supposed to have differences of opinions and hard questions that are asked of these guys, and really, if it wasn't for the pro-life Democrat lady, they would have had nothing that even looked like anything conservative. And I do appreciate the fact that Chris Wallace pressured Mayor Pete about the abortion issue because he recognized that Mayor Pete didn't answer the lady's question, but you know, He was asking questions, and I just wonder why, when it comes up to at what stage should it not be legal? And Mayor Pete basically said a woman should be able to choose at any moment.
Yeah,
it
he
basically
has no
came
limit.
Out, but he didn't say it specifically. And the other thing was, I would like to know why he would participate, because he is a fair and balanced guy. I mean, his hatred of Trump has brought a little of his daddy out in him, but the bottom line is he is a fair guy for the most part. I just wonder why he would participate in such a biased audience.
Yeah, it's a great question, Paul, and I appreciate you calling in this morning. We've got a little bit of the sound from that, right, from that rally. Listen to Mayor Pete here.
Serving this country for a long time. But I reject the premise of the question that my vision is less comprehensive. It is less expensive, but that doesn't mean less comprehensive. One of the problems we've gotten to as a country is we measure the seriousness of a proposal by its price tag instead of by its impact.
I apologize for the quality of that audio.
Well, don't. It's the content we're worried about. I mean, did you hear this, dude? We should not judge a proposal by its cost. What world do you live in? Anyway, to our caller's point, I questioned this the day after. I said, what in the hell was Fox News thinking giving Pete Buttigieg, one of the most liberal left-wingers running for president this year, 1 hour of broadcast time in a town hall format in Iowa? Now, what I would say to my caller is that it was designed to be a Iowa caucus Democrat town hall. So it wasn't like they opened up the doors and let anybody in who wanted to come in. They were Democrats who were going to vote in the caucus in Iowa, who were looking at all these candidates trying to evaluate them. I didn't expect them to go pick a 50% Democrat, 50% Republican audience. The Republicans aren't going to vote for Mayor Pete anyway. These are Democrats who are trying to figure out which one they have to hold their nose and vote for anyway. That's who they are. But I agree. If Wallace couldn't join us again today. We ask him every week. We wait for the response. He's been too busy. It's been weeks since we've had him on. Weeks.
He's been MIA for a while.
Think maybe he's avoiding us.
I hope you're wrong, but I understand why you feel that way.
I'm just kidding. I'm not arrogant enough to suggest that Chris Wallace is dodging me. He's got nothing to fear from me. But I think he does realize that our audience is a little miffed with some of the direction we see Fox going these days. And that's the best example I can think of recently. How much is this ad in the Super Bowl this year? Is it like $5 million?
Oh,
used to be $5, $6, $7 million to get an ad in the Super Bowl. That's a one-minute ad on Fox, a 60-second ad during the Super Bowl. I understand it's a big event. That raises the prices. I understand ratings. But think what 1 hour of broadcast time was worth to Pete Buttigieg. He didn't have to buy advertising. And while I realize that the normal Fox crowd is not Pete's crowd, his people were able to tune into Fox that night and see an hour worth of Mayor Pete. I do not understand that. Why are you trying so hard to satisfy these lefties in the Democratic Party, Fox? Answer that question. I don't think Chris Wallace did it. His network did it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.